I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's all that about? It's gibberish on your way to hearing our program about the food of New Orleans. That's what we are here for. Three calls holding.
My goodness.
Wow.
Is there a lightning strike? Let's get right to them.
Anyway, España, remember that one. All right.
Let's go.
There's just one?
No, go ahead.
John, welcome to the food show.
Yeah, hi, guys. I want to tell y'all that Marianne is right. The Spanish restaurant you're talking about that was run by Xavier Laurentino, I think it was. They replaced, they tore down his location or that location to put up, it was a car wash in that corner.
Okay. Where was it, though?
Yeah,
what was the cross street? Was it Clearview or Transcontinental?
No, it was Transcontinental. You were right.
Okay.
It was right there by, about a block ahead of Cypress.
Okay.
And I remember that's what it was. They put a car wash up there, and then he moved out to Carrollton. And as far as I know, he's still alive and kicking out there.
Now it's coming back to me. But, he was really having a hard time getting located for a while.
Well, that's a good place for him.
Yeah.
You know, out of memory, probably not so much, you know.
Yeah, but you're right. That's where we're located.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
John number two.
Two guys named John. Okay,
John's
well,
scared.
Welcome to the food show.
Oh, hi.
Actually, your caller that just, it was just on, sort of laid it out. Yes, it was Laurentino's was the name of the restaurant.
Okay.
Right,
he
was
right off West Esplanade on Transcontinental in sort of a strip mall, just a short distance from Cypress, and then moved to, I guess that's the name of it now, is Barcelona, or was the last time we went there.
Mm-hmm. In the riverside.
In the
river
calls,
bend area.
Really, they're all going to say the same thing, aren't they?
What?
They are. But I've been to Spain and on a work assignment and met a bunch of Spaniards. And just like a lot of men here in Louisiana have their own jambalaya recipe, most men in Spain have their own paella recipe.
Uh-huh.
And they
can
use
about
a variety of meats from sausage to seafood to ham and other meats to make their paella.
If I had to true confessions here, I think I prefer paella to jambalaya. But jambalaya is what we have, and I love it anyway.
You're going to go?
I love it anyway.
That's a mortal sin. You're
I'm
going
trying
to hell.
The name of that place on the beach in Valencia where we had the paella, that was really good. Anyway, we did a lot of paella when we were in Spain a couple of years ago. Well, thank you, John.
You bet.
See you later.
Jenny.
What? Who would have thought?
Hey, how are y'all?
We are y'all and y'all too, and everything good. Welcome to our show. Thank you very much for calling. What's up?
Well, I just heard y'all talking about po' boys earlier, and they are, roast beef is my favorite, so
yum.
I had a call. I actually had one for lunch yesterday. It wasn't the best I've had, but earlier this week I had some friends in from California, and I took them to R&O's, and we got a po' boy there. But I have to say, my favorite would probably have to be Parkway.
They're real good.
I don't really think that much of R&O's.
No?
It might just be me.
R&O's?
Yeah, R&O's.
That's one thing, but what I think you're telling about is a different thing, isn't it?
No, she said she had one a couple of days ago at R&O's, and she
I didn't hear that.
And
she
prefers Parkway, we agree. Parkway is great. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then also, if you're on the coast, there's a place called Pirate's Cove. Pirate's Cove has a really, really good roast beef po' boy. All their po' boys are good, but
where is that?
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Where is it? Pasquistan in Mississippi, okay. Pasquistan, oh. Right off okay. of Minge Avenue.
Okay, pretty you good. Live in Pasquistan, don't you?
Yeah, I've been emailing you. I sent you an email a few days ago. Yeah, so this
is
me.
Yes. I'm glad you were able to call because it sounds like you can never call the show because you're always driving when we're on.
I'm always
glad you were able to call.
Working. Yeah, so I'm always working when y'all are live. So I'm always listening to podcasts. And I'm like, I want to call in about this, but it's like
well, good. I'm glad
early
you did.
Morning. Yeah,
I'm glad
so
you did.
You also talked about kumquats. We actually have a huge kumquat tree in our backyard.
Really?
Yeah, it is ginormous, and it's very true. They're good with cocktails. I made a old-fashioned, I did a twist with a kumquat, and it was really, really good. Something different, because it doesn't have the orange, obviously.
What's the season? When are they dropping off the tree?
We have plenty on our tree now, but they're not ripe. We need a little bit of a cooler weather, so they kind of just, whenever the weather turns a little bit cool, they'll start turning their little oranges color, and we have plenty of them. They're pretty good. They're not my favorite, but they're good. I like them.
I've got a drink, a cocktail idea that I'm aching to try it. It's something called the Negroni, and it is made with always a slice of orange juice, a slice of orange, rather, right down in the glass. But you wouldn't need quite that much fleshy orange juice kind of stuff. But this sounds great. What to do it with?
A Negroni with a kumquat slice
with,
instead?
Kumquat Negroni, yeah. Uh-huh. That would upset some bartenders around town. I can't wait to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's my list. I usually have, when y'all are, I'm listening to the podcast, I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this and this and this, but this is all I could talk about today,
that's a short list if you've got all that stored up.
We thank you very much for all of that. That's terrific.
Appreciate the call.
Yes, ma'am. You'll have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Now, wait a minute.
She was at the E Club with her family.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. 260-6368. You know, I think that kumquats are sweeter than Japanese plums. Japanese plums are really, really tart.
So are kumquats.
I don't know. I think Japanese plums are probably.
All right. Well, why not?
I don't know.
Make two batches.
She's got a kumquat. I've got a Japanese plum. So we'll just stick with our respective fruits.
Why not?
Anyway, I do confess I like paella better than jambalaya. If it's, you know why I think I do? Because paella has a little bit more moisture to it. I don't really like jambalaya if it's really moist. And you could make it moist, but I just don't for some reason. But paella, I think, kind of just does have more moisture to it, and I like that. Do you remember that restaurant, Tom, that was right on the beach in Valencia where we had the paella?
I remember it very well. That's one of the most unusual cities I've ever seen in my life.
We definitely had more than our share of paella there, for sure.
It was everywhere. You couldn't avoid it.
Several times, but I thought that was an exceptionally good one there.
It certainly is.
Anyway, 260-6368. So I'm going to talk about LJ's. I went to LJ's yesterday.
LJ's?
Mm-hmm. It is the place that is in the spot that was Mondo. And you said they did it quickly. Yes, they did it quickly. They did an extremely minimalist revision of the physical space. They pulled up some carpet tiles. They cleaned it, which they said it was really in need of, and left pretty much everything else there, except they did take that cute little patio where they had like four tables at the corner there. They took that out, which I'm disappointed by, because that was kind of a charming little place. They had some strung lights over it, and I always did like that one space of Mondo better than any other one. But anyway, I'm really intrigued by this place. It is there are places that are a blast from the past.
That's a funny expression.
But they've been there for 50 years.
Yeah.
This place is a nod to the past that just started 4 days ago.
Mm.
And it's really kind of interesting to see what it is that they're going for. You know, yesterday I talked about the food, but today I'm talking more about the whole vibe of the place. And I find it, like, when I talked to Vic, who's the chef there, he told me that they were looking to make it kind of like the old Lino's that used to be there a long, long time ago. Lino's would be the place that I think was right after the Steak Knife or right before the Steak Knife when it was there. But it was an Italian restaurant, and it was like old school Italian.
Boy, I don't remember any restaurant
it's
like that.
It's not spelled L-E-N-O. It's spelled L-E-A-N-O. And they know it well because they both grew up in Lakeview, and it was there then. So maybe it predates the Steak Knife. But they're going for that kind of family-style restaurant, and it's kind of like...
Good with kids.
No, it is. It is.
Okay.
No, it's definitely, it's kind of, it's, this is not a negative. This is kind of a curiosity only. It's like every restaurant that starts today is looking to be hip, and this has nothing hip about it. It's like a restaurant from that time where we grew up, but started 4 days ago. It's curious.
You know, I think I know what about this restaurant. It's close to City Park, right before you
it's
go.
It's Mondo.
In.
It's the old Mondo.
The old Mondo. I know that, but you had something called Lino's.
Oh, Lino's. Oh, I see.
And that rings a bell too.
Well, I think they said it was in that space, so it was one of the previous restaurants. In that exact space. So
interesting,
and they were so enamored of this place and had such good memories of it that they just sort of modeled this new 2019 place off of that one in look and vibe and everything. And so it's kind of interesting. I'm really curious to see how that works. You know. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I'm gonna check my notes on that. That's
yes,
rings
it's called LJ's.
Yeah.
And it is a partnership between two guys who worked for a long, long time at the Chimes.
Oh, and the Chimes haven't been around very long, so that's
they've been around long enough. I mean, in Baton Rouge, they've been around for a much longer time than here. But anyway.
This is the food show. Yeah. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Yeah, I just thought I'd better throw that in there just in case we have a commercial.
No, we don't.
We don't have a commercial.
Minutes.
We did it already?
No, in a couple of minutes.
Oh,
we should
I
talk
see.
About New Orleans hamburger and seafood, though.
That's what I
while
mean.
While we gear up for the
exactly
commercial.
What I had in mind.
You want to do it?
Sure. Shall we start with the French fries, which are really unusual?
Say, please don't start with the oil.
Okay, I won't say a word about the oil, but I will
you.
Say a few words about
Thank
the
so
about the fries, because they are completely different from any others that you can find anywhere else. They're sort of shaped like a crescent. As a matter of fact, that is exactly what they look like, as crescents. They fry them in melted butter and garlic. And
no, they
when
don't.
It,
they
yes,
drizzle
they do.
Melted butter and garlic on
well,
after
that's
they're fried.
Close enough. All right, so all right, more of them like she says. Okay, so all right. Anyway, all of this does something to make a better hamburger. There's no question about it. And it winds up with a little crusty quality on the outside and a juiciness on the center. And I'm no maniac about hamburgers, but I like, you know, my quota. And that one is a place to find it all the time. It's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company, 10 locations around town. They now are doing oysters, grilled oysters. It's about time, and that's good to see.
Char-grilled oysters.
Char-grilled oysters, all right.
Salads.
And salads and everything
sandwiches.
Else. All the elements you are there, you will find them there ready to go. And
Ten locations
better than
around
your typical hamburger joint.
Yes. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Oh, hello there. Welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmorris. With me is her own self, Marianne.
Are you trying to remember my name?
Your name is one thing that I do remember pretty regularly.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it.
But what an achievement, huh? Yeah, he knows his girlfriend's front name.
I don't know more than your girlfriend, but anyway.
But you're not my girlfriend? What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say 260-6368 is the number. 260 menu. Uh-huh. Anybody been to Oktoberfest? There are people.
You know, we were talking about that earlier this week. But
we were talking about going to Oktoberfest last night if the party that we went to was just a couple of appetizers. But it was a massive feast, so we didn't have any interest in going to Oktoberfest after that. But if you have actually been to the Oktoberfest at the Deutsches Haus, I'd love to hear about it.
It's good. I've been to it in numerous kind of ways because we've done the show there.
Yeah.
And we've done cooking demos there, believe it or not. And it's over the years, it's moved from one place to another. And it's always been good. Always lots of fun.
Do you actually like German food?
It's not my favorite cuisine on earth, but it's there's no sense in just ignoring it.
You know, when we were in Munich, Mary Lee and I, we stayed very close to this, the big department store in Germany. Actually, it's not the biggest. That's in Berlin, but this one was pretty big. It begins with an O. Anyway.
Oscar's place.
One of the things that is very common to see over there is in all of these big department stores, there's a huge food situation, Harrod's.
All across Europe, that's true.
So the food hall was upstairs, and it was this gigantic buffet. And just about every dish on the buffet looked really good, but it was pork of some kind. They are really, really into pork. And we didn't get any German food like Sauerbraten or anything like that, but we did eat a lot of just big wonks of pork. And it was really good.
Hmm.
So I wonder if they have that sort of thing at Oktoberfest. I hope they do because I would like to try it. 260-6368.
And if you don't, NPAS, which is the chorus that I sing with, although I'm not one of their lead characters. I am not that. Uh-huh. We're working up a Christmas program, a holiday program, however you want to say it. And a large part of it is going to be in German, which I really love to do. Yes.
What?
It's really going to be in German, and it's not the first time they've done it.
It's called Oberpolik.
Somewhere Oberpolik. No, that ain't.
No, it's called Oberpolinger. Oberpolinger.
Mm-hmm.
Big, gigantic department store.
Ah.
Anyway.
And you went in, bought anything?
Well, no, we were staying very close to there. And we went upstairs and discovered that they had this big food, not hall, not like Harrod's or anything. It was like this big, giant buffet. And apparently that's a big way that people eat there. And so they're always busy with people going through the buffet.
I've always heard
pork.
That.
I was just like, you know, every dish was some sort of iteration of pork. Gosh, what?
It's the food show.
I don't have any more reports.
Well, you got lots of reports.
We've already done the almanac. We need some calls. 260-6368.
Here's one for you.
In a minute, Doug's got. You know what I'm going to do, Doug? I'm going to go to. I said that I was keeping your things that you were sending me for a time when I needed them because we usually don't need them. But you know what? I think maybe today would be a good day for that.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Yeah. All right. 260-6368. If you would like to help us out here, we appear to have hit just a wall.
That almost never happens. No, it never
happens. Doug sent me something called the best pizzas in the United States.
The
let's
best
see,
pizza
let's see
in
if
the
any
new...
of our pizzas are on it.
Yeah, I'll wait
oh,
for
we
you.
Oh, we went there. We went. Huh? No, wait. No, we didn't go to Regina Pizza in Massachusetts. you know, we went to that. I forget the name of it. I want to say Antico Forno, maybe. In the north end of Boston, in that Italian section. We didn't go to Regina, though. Oh, gosh, just like 100 pizzas. Oh,
there's a lot of pizza out there. And yeah. Boy, I
98? Were any of ours on there, Doug? Oh, we're number 98. Okay.
Yeah.
And is it Domenica? Was it Domenica? Because I'm only on 53. You're not going to say? Mm. Did he say? Oh, it was Domenica. Okay. All right.
Domenica was one of the best pizza places in America? Is
yeah,
that what it was?
That's what it said.
Oh, well, good for them.
In his list of pizzas. Has anybody been to Dabs, Chef Duke's place? I mean, other than Steven.
Yeah.
I would like to know if anyone has been to Dabs or any other new restaurant mm-hmm. that's out there.
Well, you know, my personal rule on these things is don't go to brand new restaurants.
I know.
And Chef Duke, he feels the same way. He's told me many times that he doesn't think it's a good idea for somebody to go to a brand new, just opened restaurant.
Okay, well.
Well, they're open, I can tell you that.
Well, they've been open 4 days, just like the other one that I was
talking
about.
Oh, God, I missed the detail on that.
Yeah, Pizza Domenica is number 98, and it says the slightly imperfect circles served at New Orleans, Louisiana classic Pizza Domenica are ringed with light, puffy, and black blistered crust. The centers of the pies are sauce-speckled and beautifully topped with both classic and fun ingredients like salami, mortadella, eggs, mascarpone, Brussels sprouts, and even traditional muffaletta components. You'll have a hard time choosing between the offerings all made in Pavese pecan wood fired oven. I wonder if Bottega Louie was on there. Hey, Doug, was Bottega Louie on there? That's my favorite. I don't know. I'll have to look through the list. I don't have time to look through it now. They left off Bottega Louie. That's my favorite.
Maybe it was thought that they're too successful.
I don't think so. But I am a little surprised by that because it was one of the busiest restaurants in the United States, or one of the maybe the highest grossing restaurant. What?
Yeah, I agree.
It's the best, Doug. It's absolutely the best. But they were the top highest grossing restaurant in America for a number of years in a row. So they got to be doing something.
Well, other people have had that distinction. And you remember the Smith & Walensky Steakhouse that was here for a while? Their location in New York City was for years the biggest grossing restaurant of any kind in the world.
Well, it's good. I love Smith & Walensky. Let's go to Mike.
Mike, welcome to the food show.
Hello.
Hello there. Welcome and have a seat.
Heard you
or whatever else about, you might want.
About the legs on a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Legs are only an indication of one thing, and that's the viscosity of the wine.
Yeah.
Viscosity.
Oh, viscosity,
so
you
like,
say.
If you like thick wine, then large legs are a good thing. If you don't like thick wine, then it's really kind of meaningless, you know. Moving on, I'm going to New York soon.
Oh.
And I'm going to Patsy's for the first time.
Oh.
Oh, have you
He said
checked?
No for the first time.
No, that wasn't what I was going to ask. Have you heard that they are for sure still in business?
They were celebrating their 75th anniversary the other day.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
And I have a reservation, so they definitely are.
Okay. Uh-huh. We did.
But I was just wondering what to expect, because I know you've been there a few times.
Yeah, it's your classic New York City Italian restaurant. You'll like it, and it's kicks. All the employees tell jokes and stuff, and it's certainly in a very, very...
It's a very New York kind of place.
Very New Yorker kind of place.
It's a very New York kind of place. You walk in, it's a small little... You know how they have the little room to keep you out of the cold before you actually go into the restaurant? It's kind of like a little small place there. And you walk in, and there's the cases of all of the antipasties and things like that.
Now, they have one distinction that is very much
worth saying.
They were distinguished enough to have hosted on two different occasions, the Eat Club.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Frank Sinatra.
The New Orleans
was a favorite. But I'm sure that they'll mention that before the fact that Frank Sinatra was a favorite place of his.
Oh, yeah. Frank Sinatra's absolute favorite.
The food is very good. It's good choice. Good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great place. It's
if you're going to ask about specific dishes, I can't help you. Can you, Tom?
There was nothing I saw there that I haven't seen in every other New York steakhouse.
Yeah, I'll probably just get veal piccata or something like that. But
yeah.
I'm going more for the ambiance of the place than anything else.
Well, then you did well. It's definitely going to please you.
Yeah, tell them.
I got a question for you, Tom.
Tell them that you heard about it.
For you.
I know, but I want to finish my question
I'll mention the Eat Club, okay?
Mention the Eat Club and see how they reject.
He's not going to leave you. Hey, connection with the Patsy's people.
The New Orleans Eat Club. Tell them that and see what happens.
Okay.
I got a question. Back in the days when I was a youth, back in the early 70s, I used to work on a corner of Porges and Barone.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to take the canal bus and get off at the corner of Barone and walk down Barone to Porges.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to remember a restaurant that used to have trays and trays of cold cuts in the window. Now, I know that sounds crazy. How could you have cold cuts in the window? I don't know if it was a refrigerated case, whatever. But does that ring a bell with you at all?
The one that I remember is the place that used to be next door to Cobb's. And it was called the Star or something. What?
The Pearl?
The Pearl. The Pearl was loaded with all those deli meats and everything else along those lines.
I remember turkeys in the window, yeah.
Yeah, and you would go in there and they would slice everything.
Was it good?
Did you go?
Tom, was it
good? I don't think I ever ate there, to be perfectly honest with you, because, you know, we had a cafeteria in the building and I always ate in the building. So I don't ever remember, but I just remember thinking to myself, boy, this really looks fantastic in this window. You know, and I mean, that was 40 years ago, so I don't even know if I remember it accurately, to be honest with you.
Mm.
But I was just wondering if it rang a bell with you.
Yeah, that might be it, but it's about a block off of what I'm thinking.
I used to have the same reaction whenever I saw that place, but I didn't go in it either. So
they would slice up whole turkeys. They would roast turkeys. And
yeah, did you like it, Tom? Did you ever go there?
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it seemed to me to be like ridiculous kind of restaurant. You know, back it was as trendless as it could possibly be.
Well, it's just like a basic deli.
Kind of thing. That's exactly what it was. But you in that area,
it's been
you
gone
felt like,
a while, hasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty great Col- sign.
Colb's was on St. Charles, correct?
Yeah, it was.
And
so
this place was next door.
Not the same place.
This was next door, right? Exactly next
yeah.
door.
Yeah. Well, you know, it could have been St. Charles. I was walking down instead of Barone. You know, I just again,
but
this was
only
a long,
one
long
more
time
block.
Ago.
Yeah.
It was 40 years ago, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Well, good, Lake. Tell us if you find it.
I think it's long gone. All right. Have a good evening. Thank you.
See you. Bye. Thanks, it's the food show. That's a question that hasn't been answered
Lord,
in a
we're
while.
We're dull today.
Who?
We're dull today.
I don't think so at all. Why do you keep saying things like that? It's negative. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. We love talking about food because we have nothing else to talk about. Food is ideal. You know, we just don't get into anything else too much. 260-6368. And we will resume with more of the food show in a moment after. First, if you will, this. Oh, it's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, whistling my life away. There it goes. There goes another
second.
Unit.
You know what? Mike calling about that place, the Pearl, I think is what it was.
Yeah.
Reminds me of another place that I used to find intriguing, buried deep in the CBD, the Caboose. Does anyone remember the Caboose?
Yeah.
It had a couple of locations.
Yeah.
It was mainly soup and salad.
It was between Carrollton, between St. Charles Avenue and Carondelet.
I think there were a couple of locations.
It could be.
I think they spread out to a couple of locations.
But it was where the Intercontinental is now, very close to that. Yeah.
Really? Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't realize. No, I don't think so, Tom. I think it was on the other side.
It could be on both.
I
because
mean, it was closer to Canal than was to Poydras.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That wasn't it then.
Yeah. Gosh, the Intercontinental took down a bunch of interesting things.
A lot
it
of things.
Like.
included among them were a place where churches could go and get their
vestments.
Vestments. Thank you for coming up with that. Yeah. And
I'm good, huh?
Yeah. And then there were the other. They had other things on the other side of the same block.
Yeah.
And they tended to be Italian.
Why did you know about this, Tom?
Because I worked in the neighborhood.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, had this little publication called
Figaro.
No, it was New Orleans Magazine.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we were talking off the air about the beautiful weather outside, and you were suggesting to me that I talk a little bit about.
Is it soon enough?
Outdoor dining.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
There is not a better person to talk about that than me. Yes, of course it's soon enough. We're into our 4 days in October. We get 4 days in April and 4 days in October. And we're into our 4 days in October now for outdoor dining.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to think of a few places that I like outdoor dining.
What do you like about outdoor dining? What is it about that appeals to you?
First thing,
mm-hmm.
Outdoors.
That's rich.
It's nice outside. I like outside. This is why I have my California fixation, because you can do everything outside there.
Mm.
So I like that. And I like the Blue Crab. I like the little tables outside of Oxlot 9 in Covington. I like the other tables outside of Del Porto in Covington.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a sidewalk outside person. Like, I wouldn't patronize the tables outside of, say, Palace Cafe on Canal Street.
Yeah, me neither.
If
every time I sit there.
If outside means gross, forget it.
If I feel like if I'm sitting there right on the sidewalk, it's a little too easy for cars to go jump the sewer.
Well, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking that it's just gross. Now, if Irene's has their patio up and running, that would
Irene's?
Be a lovely place. That's a gorgeous patio.
Oh, Irene's.
In Irene's.
Oh,
yeah.
that whole place
that
is beautiful.
Yeah. Sylvain has a nice courtyard if you're looking for outside.
Who?
Outside, Sylvain.
Sylvain, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty interesting restaurant. It's a little too
hip for you.
Hip for me, yeah.
Dory's Metropolitan, which we learned last night, has a new location in Dallas. We have to
mm-hmm.
look into that.
Yeah.
But they have a cute little, like, European cove kind of outdoor space. Also, upstairs at Tableau, where you can overlook the French Quarter but not be on the ground, has nice outdoor. The downside of that mm-hmm. is that it's Tableau. But anyway, upstairs, the dining there is, you know, the space is nice. Brennan's Courtyard.
Beautiful. Don't you
Broussard's
think?
Broussard's Courtyard.
And you know, I like what's something I like about both of those is that
they're both old grand dames.
Well, they are that, but they don't have the glaring, burns your eyes out.
Brightness of
sunshine
the sun.
That you get if you sit in the main dining room or outside.
Well, I don't even know what I mean by that, but those are two very nice courtyards. If I'm going to do a courtyard, I like intimate courtyard. The space behind in the Eliza Jane Hotel has a little space back there. I think it's got its own name. I want to say Bisous. It's a little bar. That's a great place mm-hmm. to go sit outside. I'll have to think some more. But it's a great time for outdoor dining, I think.
We're getting into it. Mm-hmm. It's become tolerable.
Well, you know what's interesting is that I am obsessed with outdoor dining. I have expected some poor server to serve us sometimes in the cold or the rain, which they do because they're usually places we frequent and they know us to be crazy. But I didn't eat out at all outside this whole summer.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe it's
because my air conditioner was broken in my car and I'd already spent enough time outside. So that could have something to do with it. But normally I would still be eating outside, except it's been so unbearably hot and I've been exposed to the outside enough with the windows open in the car that it was too much. It was over the top. So I ate inside pretty much the whole summer. In fact, I've been doing that since May, I think, which is very odd. So I am very much looking forward to getting back outside again and dining.
Well, it won't last forever. I mean, the not having.
Well, the 4 days et cetera, will certainly not last forever. And then we'll be back into a rainy season or something like that. This is not exactly a place where you would think of outdoor dining.
No.
But enough people are thinking of outdoor dining that more people are actually getting into the act. So I'm glad to see that, because why not, you know?
Why not? Exactly.
And actually, spaces inside now, restaurants, the air conditioning is really too much. I find it freezing in most restaurants now.
I do, too. Just about everywhere you go to, it's just frigid. And I wonder who that's aimed after.
It's aimed at the people who
the
came
waiters.
In from... Well, I don't know. It's also aimed at the people who have just come in from outside in 100-degree temps that
might
feel like
them.
125. So I think – but then once you get used to that, you settle in, then you realize, oh, wait, you know, it's really kind of cold in here. So it's only good for the first 10 minutes that you're there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how far that can get along without anybody seeming to notice that it's that cold in there. Like last night, the restaurant we were in last night was really cold beyond.
Was it?
I thought it was.
Well, you know what? I think that I just enjoyed myself so much last night that my mind was not diverted to things like that.
Well, that's one way to make it happen.
See, if it's just you and me sitting down, then I pay attention to it.
Why? Why then?
No, because I was you missed the whole joke.
The whole
you did. You missed the whole shtick. Yeah. 260-6368 is the number. We have a lot of eating to do in the next few days.
We do?
We do.
Why is that?
Well, besides going to Oktoberfest, the Kenner Wine and Food event.
I know about that, yeah.
Which people, I just want to take a chance to mention this again. Tomorrow's your last day to buy tickets ahead of time at the $85 price for the 9th annual Kenner Wine and Food event, which is out at the Chateau Golf and Country Club.
Mm-hmm.
Around the pool, 30 vendors, about 30 good restaurants, all the wine that you could possibly imagine. It's going to be a nice evening. It will be perfect weather. For sure.
Looks like it, yeah.
So it benefits the 4Kids Foundation. It's a good cause. You should go check it out.
They have been doing that for years and years now, and they've raised a lot of money for a lot of kids.
For the
and
4Kids
other,
Foundation.
And the people who get involved, the chef, the guy who runs things over there, they're nice folks. I've gotten to know them very well over the years. And so
go to Chateau GCC for tickets.
Indeed, the guy who was my best man at my wedding, he is in that a
yeah, we
lot.
Should call them and see if they're going to be going to that. Anyway, we are talking about absolutely nothing at all, if you would like to join us in that pursuit.
Okay, here's one. There is an entry in this book, The New Orleans Underground Gourmet, that tells of a pizza spot that is called, I had it here a second ago.
I love when you get us all excited.
Speaking of pizza, you know a place that I've been thinking about lately? What?
Mark Twain Pizza.
You're close. That's the one we're looking at. Anyway, the name of the restaurant is...
Oh, please write it down when you do that. Yeah, because you get us all worked up. We think we're going to hear something interesting, and then it goes away. And then I can't help you because I don't even know where you're going.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But anyway, Mark Twain Pizza, I was thinking about the other day, and I don't even know why I was thinking about it. Probably because I had started thinking about Fat Boy Pizza.
Yeah.
And I really
we were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah. But the reason we were talking about it yesterday is because I'd been thinking about it a couple of days before that. But Mark Twain Pizza was kind of like the hangout for the Metairie Road families. And now it looks like people have moved down to Fat Boy. But do people still go to Mark Twain Pizza?
Oh, yeah.
It's a really cute place. That's an old-fashioned kind of pizza place.
If you want to get a good story, go over and talk to the guy who runs
Mark,
it. There have been several owners over the years.
Jacques Broussard.
Well,
Jacques Broussard.
The guy who originally started it learned his
pizza techniques.
Just general cooking techniques.
Uh-huh.
From having worked for quite a while at Commander's Palace, no less.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not kidding.
The original owner of Mark Twain Pizza
was a Commander's.
It happens kind of a lot when people have worked in the white tablecloths for a long, long time, and then they say, "Oh, enough of this." Like the guy who owns Torchy's Tacos.
Who?
It's a chain in Texas.
Torchy's?
Yeah, it started in Austin, Texas. Torchy's Tacos. They're delicious.
Anyway, what do they taste like?
He was a white tablecloth kind of guy.
Yeah.
And there's somebody else that was a white tablecloth guy locally that's just opened a place. I'm trying to think. I just did a piece on nomenu.com, but it was I think it's the guy from Barracuda. Yeah, I think he was a white tablecloth guy.
Hmm.
And then they just move into this totally casual, cheaper food.
Being in the restaurant business is very difficult. And
well, I think
I'm sure that's how
they make a lot more money in a place like that than you do in the white tablecloths.
It could be.
You know? So, anyway. But Mark Twain Pizza, I remember liking it. It's been a long time since I've been there, but it's a very cute place. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it in relation to the arrival of Fat Boy on the scene and wondering how that's affected them. Anybody still going to Mark Twain Pizza? Give us a call. Give us a report on Mark Twain, 260-6368. He sent me something not long ago, and I meant to do something with it, and then I forgot. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to have to go and look it up again.
Funny how that happens, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. It absolutely is.
You know, there is a national outfit selling pizza under a very famous name, and they deliver at houses and, you know, all of that stuff.
Okay.
Tell me the name.
Pizza Hut?
No.
Pizza Papa John's?
Super, super famous.
Domino's?
Domino's.
Okay, yeah.
Do you know there's a restaurant in New Orleans called Domino's, or it used to be?
Where?
Long years and years before that Domino's came along. It was where Herb Saint is now.
Was it pizza?
It was a pizza back then. And they made everything from scratch right there. They had all these old,
Domino's was a pizza place?
It was a pizza place. Huh. And they had those old things that play music.
Oh, jukebox?
Jukeboxes. And they had things like Frankie Lane playing in there. It was really wild, but their pizzas were great. And my favorite one, which I have only rarely seen since then, was a garlic pizza.
Did it have sardines on it, too?
Yes, it did.
You know what, Tom? I think you should actually make a garlic sardine pizza.
You know, you've got something there.
I mean, I want to start cooking at the house more.
Uh-huh.
And I think that you should take your little...
Shtick.
No, KitchenAid, that big, gigantic mixer that they call the concrete mixer because it's so heavy, the one that Mary Lee uses all the time for cakes, which when she leaves, she's going to have to take with her because she's the one who uses it most. But you used to make a lot of pizza dough in it.
Yeah.
And what you should do maybe is get some pizza dough and finally make
garlic pizza.
Garlic sardine
pizza. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
And you could have it be...
It could be great.
It could be a white pizza
yeah.
with just olive oil on it and some garlic and parsley and sardines and some cheese. And you could put, just like we do with pepperoni, we could put all the mm-hmm. sardines on your side. And
well,
I
like sardines.
And now, you're talking about sardines in the can like we know them or real sardines?
Real sardines are real live...
they're fish.
They're fresh fish.
And they're
no,
what, about
I'm not talking
six
about
inches
them.
Long and about 2 inches wide.
Yeah, and you can eat them head and all.
Uh-huh.
And I have...
In Italy, I'm sure.
No, I've done it here. You know, Chef Andrea, tell him I want some...
Real sardines?
Some real sardines, and he'll... If he has them, he doesn't always have it. But,
I would imagine it'd be kind of hard to get them, because they're European fish, aren't they?
Yeah, but you can get them sent over here. There are a lot of Italians that love them. I uh-huh. love them, and
what,
I'm not even Italian. No, usually in a pan with a little olive oil. Psh, psh, uh-huh. psh, flip once.
And what, do you eat the bones and everything?
If you want to, you won't have a problem with it. The bones are so thin.
Uh-huh.
Now, of course, any decision you make like that is one that you have to make up your mind about. I've never had a problem with them before.
You eat the head and all?
The
eyes and all?
Yeah,
really?
It's nothing to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It winds up tasting better.
Yeah?
Yeah. But, again, I tell you, if you feel funny about it, if you think you're going the wrong way with it, just stop doing it. But
do you have capers on it, too, when you do it? Because it seems like it would need some capers.
Capers?
Like
probably
capers,
so.
Garlic,
capers
olive
come
oil.
From around that area, so that's...
Wait, do they? They come from
yeah.
Europe?
Yeah. In fact, on one of our Eat Club dinners in Capri, in fact, we were walking around, and I saw a bush. And I looked at it, and I said, this might be a caper bush. So I asked the driver to stop and pull over, and I picked a few of them, chomped them up, tasted like nothing.
Didn't you say that was the stupidest idea ever with mushrooms, that you should never, ever just pick up a mushroom and eat
oh,
it?
Oh, no, that you can die.
Well, why with capers?
Capers grow on these bushes.
Well,
they all look the same.
What if there was a little poisonous bush that looked like a
caper? But it's not poisonous, and it's not a problem. You do, however, have to put it into
It's got to be marinated.
It's got to be marinated,
or else you'll
have nothing.
Yeah.
So that's.
I've had wild fennel that I've gotten from the roadside in Italy.
I have
that?
Too. Yeah.
Do you remember when we picked the wild fennel?
And it came coated with
bugs.
Huh? Worse than bugs. What's the worst kind of bug you can imagine strolling? It's in the spider family.
I don't know.
And they were crawling all over. It was just really awful.
I must have been with you, but I don't remember that.
It was in
you
Napa.
Just, you kind of, oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I was.
I'll never
you.
Forget that.
Yeah, I think I was with you then. But, you know, you whine so much that I don't really pay a whole lot of attention.
I whine so much?
Yeah, you whine so much that I don't,
you mean like that,
I don't
whine?
Pay a lot of attention. But back to sardines, Tom. So
yeah.
If I wanted to try a real sardine,
mm-hmm.
would you be able to get that
yeah.
at like a regular, not a regular fish market? You'd have to special order it, wouldn't you?
You know that place on... huh?
Sardinia?
Yeah, that's why they call
well,
it that, by the way.
I do want to go to Sardinia.
That is why they call it that,
okay.
Sardinia.
Is that right?
Yeah. Anyway, there was one other addition.
Well, I definitely, you know, it's on my list to go to
Sardinia. Yeah, well,
just so you know that.
The way to put this together is call Chef Andrea.
Okay.
And say, a fresh Andrea. Andrea, Tom told me that I could call you and you would get me some fresh.
Fresh Andrea, can you get me some Chef Sardines?
Sardines. And he will say either... Oh, sure, I've got it. Mamma mia. And then he'll sell it to you. Or he might not have anything at all because you can't get it all the time. But you can get it most of the time, especially around Lenten season. And then just ask him for it, and he'll have it for you. Also, you know that place over on Metairie Road, right by the railroad tracks?
Yeah.
What was the name?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's
Norjo's.
Yeah.
Norjo's. Uh-huh. If anybody will have it, he will have it.
Well, you know, they used to carry there.
Or she, actually. It's
well,
a she now.
She's gone
yeah.
now.
She's gone,
it's
yeah.
a new owner. But you know that...
That's right.
You know that they have this... these whole cases full of your favorite food item, Tom.
Yeah.
Bacala.
Now that's something
cases
truly
and
vile.
Cases of it.
Woof, you can have all of mine.
Okay, see, one of these days I'm going to try that because it sounds to me, after it's been described by someone else, that it's really kind of like fish and chips.
Okay, we'll accept
so
that.
So I'm gonna try that somewhere, probably in Italy, and have it. It's called Filetti di Bacala.
Uh-huh, and yeah.
There's even a place, like a walk-up, where you can get it. And one of these days I'm going to try it. I've tried to go several times to that particular place right off the Campo di Fiori, but it's closed every time I go. Oh my goodness,
well, we've
what a
come
stinker
to the end of
a
of our
show.
Program.
Thanks for listening.
I don't think so. That wasn't
time.
Bad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.